I cannot wait to be an old man living in a neighborhood full of kids. Wait, no, that sounds very creepy.
Get off my lawn, I'll break your legs. Ah, they'll scream.
I'll keep a shotgun next to my chair, just to know, let them know that I'm all business.
Oh, hello, everyone.
Oh, hi, yes, hello.
Oh, you caught us at a strange time.
Indeed. You're listening to another episode of Twinfinite Loop, the podcast that's here to keep you in the loop, or so we say.
Is that why it's named that?
It's a play on words. See, like the phrase infinite loop, I guess. I don't know.
I'm not getting that at all. No, I don't understand.
Let's long it separate from the title. It's very separate. I have no idea what else we would call the show anyway, like, I don't know, like the Twinficast?
What if they don't want to stay in the loop?
Then keep listening to the show and rate us on iTunes and write us a review, and we'll make sure to keep you out of the loop if you do that thing.
Yeah, right. You know, I don't really want to typically stay in the loop, but I this is definitely a podcast, and they definitely talk on it, so cool.
Yeah, but I am your host, John Charles, and I'm here today with my friend, Andy.
Hi, I'm his friend, Andy.
And nobody else. It's just us boys today. So, I mean, Ma's a boy too. So.
Parents, no rules.
No parents, no rules. That's the mantra of this week's episode. It's just going to be us two today. So we're just gonna talk about stuff, you know, a little bit of news and other junk and whatnot or whatever. So it's a bit of a casual episode this week. It's probably going to sound a lot better than the last three episodes have because. Recording the new way, so, you know, if it sounds better or worse, like, make sure to let us know, because we want to make sure the show is improved for you. Some of you have already reached out to us and let us know what you think of the show, and we really appreciate that. Thanks a lot. You know, we're all on Twitter, and you can always comment on the page itself and email us and junk. And additional news as well is that you can find us now on the iTunes Store. We've been in the iTunes Store for about 2 or 3 weeks now, and if you want, it'd be really awesome if you could stop and go and give us a little review, you know, a couple of stars, you know, let people know you like us. And who knows, maybe we might end up on the New and Noteworthy page one day if we keep this up, you know?
Or CNN.
Or CNN or Fox News. That's how you know you've arrived.
So what's new with you, JC?
Not much. Just finishing up spring break. I tried doing a comic over break, and I got like halfway through it because I don't have time to do comics during school. So I'm gonna try and keep on with it because it's been going pretty smoothly. But I didn't really. Well, I played Towerfall. Towerfall is really good. You could read my review of that. If you haven't gotten Towerfall yet, you should because it's really, 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 really good. And
I might pick that up then. I might try it out then.
Yeah, and even if you don't have anyone to play it with, there's still stuff for single players to do. So it's a worthwhile purchase for anyone who picks it up. And I also played a bit of that Powerpuff Girls game for review that should be going up this week. The game came out of nowhere, and it's it is certainly a game. I will tell you that much.
It's definitely a game. Oh wait, a moment of silence right now for our spring breaks are over.
That's okay. Enough of that. It's snowing here, so like the nail in the spring break coffin has been like
smashed into the coffin. Just not even just hammered in, just drilled.
Just and like absolute, back. Just like Sin City type stuff. Just blood everywhere.
Blood. And I'm upset about no spring break, but I'm actually more upset of the fact that I ran out of cookie butter.
Cookie butter?
Yes, cookie butter.
What the hell is cookie butter?
It's like peanut butter, yes. But like instead of peanuts, it's made with like gingerbread cookie.
Oh, so, I was thinking like cookie dough or something.
No, oh my god, it's delicious. It has no nutrients. It has none of the protein of peanut butter, but it's 10 times more delicious, so it's more like a dessert.
I think I talked about this on like the first episode or something, but have you seen that Hershey's spread that they make now?
Yes, I saw the commercial recently, finally.
Yeah, and get yourself a jar. That shit's good.
Or you could just buy a bunch of Hershey's bars and melt them.
No, if you do that, though, they'll harden.
True that. I'm sorry. It was my mistake. Yeah, I didn't.
You dumb idiot. That's why God portions out our chocolate spreads in tiny little jars. It's too much power for one man to handle.
Right? I can never have either peanut butter or cookie butter. You know, I mean, I could only have one or the other. You know, now all I have is peanut butter, and my life is a whole lot less sweeter.
This cookie butter stuff still just kind of, like, astounds and confuses me. I don't know if I completely understand it. Like, I mean, I see that at my grocery store now.
You know, my listeners, my birthday is coming up. If you want to send me anything, send me cookie butter. Lots and lots of cookie butter. Send some to JC, too, because he needs to know what that is.
As long as there's no peanuts or nuts in it, because I can't eat those.
No peanuts, no nuts, just cookie and butter.
Which, on that note, too, right? I know we talked about this in the first episode or something, too, right? The ice cream treats that are made with peanuts. I was at the Walmart, and they had the drumsticks that are made with cookies and crunch bars instead of nuts. So I wasn't crazy. Those things definitely exist.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I need someone to drive me there so I can get those home. Because I get there by the bus, and it would take too long to get home without those things melting. I need to get those into my home.
Wait, how would they not melt? You said it was snowing outside. Are you lying to me and the viewers?
No, I'm saying, like, to get to Walmart, it's like an hour-long bus drive away.
Son of a bitch.
How am I going to get that back without
it? The world is your freezer.
And then they don't have them at the Kroger's around here, because if they had them at Kroger, I would just buy them and walk them back in, like, 10 minutes, but... Because this is perfect ice cream buying weather. Like, when it's freezing, just... That's when you stock them on ice cream, because it won't melt.
You know what won't melt?
I don't want melt. Nobody wants melt.
No. You know what won't melt?
I know it won't. What won't melt? What won't melt?
Controllers.
Controllers. Indeed, they won't melt. So, yeah, you know what, let's take a quick little break, get our bearings together, and we'll get back. We'll actually talk about some video game stuff that's not chocolate or cookie butter, huh?
Controllers. All right.
Break! So they can talk about those new controllers that I've got up lately, because I'm also going to try and write a feature this week about D-pads, because, like, I think nobody thinks D-pads fucking matter anymore, but they kind of do.
Nah, I use a D-pad a lot.
Oh, yeah, exactly, and D-pads just kind of suck.
The Xbox, I have no recollection of how the D-pad is on the Xbox One.
And Xbox One, I think I touched it once and it felt a lot like the Vita's D-pad, I think.
And I always felt that PlayStation's D-pads were always awful. Kind of, and the GameCube D-pad was pretty bad.
I like the GameCube D-pad. Like, it's really hard to play 2D games with it, but, like, it's really good for shmups. Plus,
yeah,
like, it's small enough where you can just put your thumb in the middle of it and, like, just walk around, which I think they were hoping people would do with the 360s D-pad, but you can't do that at all with the 360s D-pad. Mm.
And the Wii U D-pad, it feels really good, actually. Like, it's nothing special, but out of the other ones, I guess it's probably the best.
Yeah, I don't know, just that weird Steam controller has, like, buttons
for the D-pad. It's like, really?
Ooh. Yeah, I think the rationale is that...
What are they doing with it? I'm sorry.
If you look at it, like... Okay, so, like, if you've seen the Steam controller, because they redesigned it, and, like...
Looking at
it. It has, I think it has, like, real buttons now, but it still has, like, the buttons for D-pads, like a diamond of buttons with arrows on it, so, like... I think the rationale is since that controller is designed for playing PC games on a controller, that D-pad is suited for, like, you know, keyboard stuff. Like, if you really need a D-pad, you can just plug in a different controller.
The thing about what I don't like about this D-pad, I'm looking at the picture of it right now, and, you know, the buttons are spaced identically to your standard face buttons, like A, B, X, X, and Y. And the big problem with that is that with D-pads, you know, they're directional. You don't typically press A, B, X, and Y the way you would a D-pad. So you would at most be pressing like, you know, one button, like maybe you're pressing A, and then a little bit after, oh, let me press B, or just A and B back and forth. But when you're playing with the D-pad, you know, you're moving your thumb all around it. You know, you're moving it around like that and blah, blah, blah. In which case, then I guess it'd be good to just use the swirly things, whatever, the little sensor things that they have there.
Like I said, like, I'm willing to give it a free pass because, like, I imagine it's, like, say, like, oh, I want to play League of Legends on my TV, which, like, you don't know who's going to play that game with this controller, but it's, like,
yeah.
You could, because that's what those pads are for, is to simulate using a mouse or whatever.
I think the if anything, this D-pad or the D-buttons here are more for just, like menus.
Yeah, instead. I can see that, too.
Yeah, know, rather just, like, than actually.
Switching weapons in an FPS or something.
Yeah, I don't think they're actually meant to be moving around, which, I mean, I guess these, like, sensor things would probably make it, would probably make, like, some fighting games easier, so, like, quarter circles and stuff like that.
Somebody who plays a lot of fighting games, I'm going to tell you straight up that it's not going to become a new fighting game controller.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people who are hardcore about it either use, like, a stick, which that's what most people use, and if you use
yeah.
a controller, most people use just, like, a fighting pad just because the button layouts are for that and the D-pad's usually better on those sorts of things.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm interested in seeing, like, how that would work. The only problem with that is that, like, on like a joystick like that, you know, you can't directly feel, you know, some of your emotions, and then your quarter circle might be a little off and blah, 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 blah. But I mean, like, the way that it's, like, circular, almost like the first iPod.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little interested. Like, I would try it out, but yeah, I'd probably stick. Actually, I play a lot of fighting games, but I actually don't even own a fighting a joystick.
Wait, so then what do you usually use for fighting games?
Just a 360 controller or whatever.
Oh,
controller.
Man, that is. I remember, like, that was, like, when I learned, like, how bad a 360 controller kind of is for fighting games, because, like,
but it depends.
I always heard, and I was always like, I don't understand. I mean, it can't be that bad, and, like, it went over to my friend's house, and he was like, let's play Street Fighter 4, and I was like, well, I just have to use your controller. Oh.
But do you use the D-pad for Street Fighter?
Yeah, I do. Like, I can't use the stick. I can't move fast enough with the stick.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
No, that's the only thing. I use the control stick on the... no, I wouldn't dare use that D-pad for a fighting game. That's a death sentence. But the stick work works. I mean, by now, I guess I've pretty much been, like, super used to it, so...
No, I mean, that's naturally what happens with, like, games like that. When you're playing on, like, an okay controller, you just, like... You get the muscle skills to do it on there, because, like...
Yeah,
I'm playing Ikaruga on PC a lot lately, and I'm using a 360 controller for that. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Ikaruga is that, like... You only move in 8 directions in that game, and since there's no, like, notches or definitive, like... up direction on the 360 controller, I find myself having a hard time hitting diagonals, but I'm getting better at doing that on that controller just from having to play Ikaruga on there.
Mm. How do you play Ikaruga? Is it like a twin-stick shooter, or is it just a shmup?
Just a regular shmup, just like, you know, D-pad.
What were you talking about diagonals, though?
I mean, like, there might be, okay, so, like, early on in the first Age of Ikaruga, there's a part where they're like these two hot dog-shaped ships, right? And then there's little enemies
literally...
between the two of them. And so there's, like, a little tiny notch you gotta squeeze through to get there. And, like, when they reach the top of the bottom, they move to the left and the right. So it's, like, you gotta go, like, straight down. And for the longest time, I had a hard time, like, hitting straight down at that part because I would accidentally go diagonal just because, like... I can't tell where diagonal is on that stick, or, like, vice versa. There'd be times where I'd have to go diagonal, and I would just go straight down, because I just can't tell where diagonal is on that thing.
Oh, okay. I could totally understand.
Yeah,
by now,
just
like, yeah.
Well.
Yeah. I was, I'm chewing him. I'm so irresponsible just chewing him.
See, that's why I ate my Pop-Tart before the show. I contemplated, I said, I could eat this Pop-Tart while I record.
Anyway, I was at an arcade recently. I was playing Tekken Tag Tournament 1,
mm-hmm.
and of course you got to play with a joystick. And I'm just like, oh god, I just couldn't.
Oh no, I can't.
I think I've become like too used to using 360 controller, especially with Tekken, because I don't think I've ever actually like. Well, I mean, I played Tekken 5 machine once, but now like with Tekken. It's only like with practice with that I know exactly. Like, I could totally understand where you mean. Like, you're trying to press down, and then you're actually a little bit off to the side, so like that, because there's no, because it's just like a complete like circle, the little hole.
Yeah.
I remember
when I was at MAGFest, and I sat down to one of the little Naomi boards to play Street Fighter 2, and like, I play my fighting games on a controller, so like, there is a super learning curve with me in control sticks, so it's just kind of like, I was playing it, and I was doing so badly, and I was like, I know for a fact that I do not suck this much at Street Fighter, and this is really embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah, but I found it really odd, though. You know, Tekken is much more difficult for me on a joystick, but Guilty Gear actually came pretty naturally, because they had Guilty Gear at that arcade that I was at, too, as well. Oh, by the way, if you guys are anyone who's in the Miami area, you guys should totally go to Arcade Odyssey. It's fucking badass. There's like 8 million fighting games and all kinds of other.
I would kill for an arcade around here.
It's really, really cool. Yeah. And yeah, that's usually like, it's like a staple of mine. Every time I go, I just sit down and just try, attempt, go as far, as long as I can in Guilty Gear X2 or XX, whatever fuck they call it.
Is that what you guys were doing, like, this spring break or whatever, just, like, going to the arcade and playing fighting games till your hearts exploded?
I went a little, I went once with the Amelia and Wes, and we had a fun little day there. But, of course, I wouldn't ever actually beat it, the fucking campaign, because there's, like, just, like, one bitch, like, at the end, she just unfair, and I hate her, and I hope everything dies.
Yeah, guys, I'm like sitting here at home, you know, looking at the sky and drawing on a TV tray while watching Pokemon, and I open up Facebook and I just see photos of like those three guys just like on the beach and hanging out, writing news on the couch. I'm just kind of like, I'm so lonely.
Aww, come to Miami.
Yeah, I should do that. I will maybe try and do that once I graduate. You know, maybe if I raise the extra money for conventions and stuff, and I don't end up going, I can use it on a flight to Miami and come hang out with you guys for a weekend or something.
Turn tricks. Raise money.
Exactly. it took me like 2 seconds to realize what turn tricks means. You almost got me.
Yeah, go to the country club. There's a lot of lonely old people that have a lot of money.
You should be like a narc or something, you know, just kind of like, hey, you should turn tricks. Yeah, I should. You're under arrest.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's a really good job for me. Maybe. I'm gonna consider. Thank you. See, we're all learning something today in today's episode of To Infinite Loop. I'm learning my calling.
You're calling as a call boy. Is that what they call them? Call boys?
Name callers, I think. Well, no, that's what they called them in like during the Red Scare, I think. Whistleblower? Narcs?
Oh, you're still talking about narc. I thought we were talking about the other end of it. Okay, oh. Yeah. If you're a narc, yeah, you're a whistleblower or something.
Call boy, let's see. excuse me, I am an escort.
There we go. That's the 21st century word for it.
I put a call boy, and one of the first selections or options I get is gay escort rent boy.
A rent boy? Oh, yeah, that's right. There actually are services where you can just, like, rent people, like, they do that in America, where you can just, like, rent a midget for a day.
Oh, no, this isn't America. This is Geneva, Zurich, Basel, and Bern.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything about any human rental services. That was a joke.
We are talking about German human rental services. If you want to rent a person, go to Germany.
Oh, gosh. Man, when I was in Japan, for, like, a brief moment, I thought about it, I was like, I wonder how easy it would be to just get my hands on a person right now. Because we got like $3,000, so what can I do with that?
Did you get a hooker?
No. Of course not. Like I said, like, I wouldn't actually have done it, but I was like, yeah, it probably wouldn't be too hard for me to actually do that. Like, especially when I was in Tokyo and we're just like in the middle of the city and like it's just open 24 hours. Just kind of like, I could probably go out and like be a naughty boy if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. In New York, that's what I always think. It's like, this nasty, disgusting, trash-smelling place is my filth, playground of filth. What can I do?
But I like that, playground of filth. That should be like, they shouldn't call Infamous 3, Second Son. They should call it Infamous 3, Playground of Filth.
Playground of Filth.
But I mean, at least you know, got all off topic of controllers, but I don't know, at least
sorry,
one last
right.
thing.
No, wait, that's fine. I'm talking about hookers. Hookers, controllers, whatever. You know?
No, it's just us, just us boys having a good time, you know. No parents, no rules, that sort of thing.
Shut up, Mom and Dad. You're embarrassing me in front of my hooker.
did you ever have a favorite controller that you've used?
I really dig the Super Nintendo controller, actually. It's probably my favorite one. And then I think, and then after that, I think it's the 360 controller. It just feels so good.
I think my,
I realized yesterday while I was playing Runner 2 on the Wii U that I was just like laying down, relaxing, and my arms were far apart because I was playing on the gamepad. And I was like, this feels really good. Because initially I was
really
like,
wide.
Yeah, exactly. Initially I was like, oh my God, the controller is really wide. And now I'm like, oh my God. The controller is really wide, so I could just like put my arms however, man, while I play. And actually, for the first time, I was like, "Ooh, this feels good."
As a quick distraction, speaking of wide controllers, there's a pawn shop near me, and for about the past half a year, they've had this controller there that like I'm seriously contemplating getting because it's just like this really wide PS2 controller with a keyboard in the middle. And so
I've seen one of those.
Yeah, it's like that GameCube one. But the thing about it is that like the keyboard is a separate piece from the controller. Like there's like it's a wide controller with a notch for the keyboard. So the keyboard hooks up with a USB slot, and the PS2 controller hooks up with a PS2 slot. And I have a PS2 to USB thingy, so I could technically buy that and try and find some game that would be worth playing with a controller and a keyboard at the same time.
EverQuest 2.
I actually think that is what it's made for the PS2.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's made for MMOs and stuff, but that was like, and I play like a Telltale game or something with it, or like Typing of the Dead. Like, what would I use a controller like this for?
Yeah, most likely online games. Like, oh my God, are the Tony Hawk Underground servers still open?
I don't think any PS2 servers are open, but I know a lot of people still run them on their own, and I don't think it's hard to just kind of like LAN it up and stuff.
Yeah. Like, there's a Metal Gear Online, like, the first Metal Gear Online.
Yeah, I feel like people forget about that. They were really cool little costumes, and they were, like, a poop costume for Snake that made enemies run away because he smelled bad.
Ew, gross, I'm eating. I'm gonna
Don't tell Mom and Dad about the poop suit.
Okay.
You know, but as far as controllers go, for me personally, I like the Dreamcast controller. It's kind of ugly shaped, but it's a really nice D-pad, really nice buttons, really nice triggers. The stick's okay, though, but,
You're right, I do like the triggers a lot on there.
The GameCube's also good, too. I really like the GameCube one.
I was thinking about the GameCube recently, and I think the only thing I really don't like about it, aside from, I see now what you mean about the D-pad, and now I like it more. Mm-hmm. But I didn't like it prior. But I was thinking about how odd it's weird, it's such a strange controller, like the Z button that is just
Z button's weird,
it's really weird. And then how would you consider those triggers, or what would you
I would call those like triggers, and like maybe those are probably some of the most literal triggers I've ever seen on a controller, because those things are like so tightly like spring loaded.
Yeah, dude, you can feel the springs inside, and they felt like, and they're funny as hell. Because then, and then, like, I remember Super Mario Sunshine, you can hold them, and then it'll start like, you know, it'll shoot whatever the fuck the water accordingly, and then you hold it like all the way down until it clicks, and then something else happens. And then for some games, that was just so counterintuitive to have to press all the way down. And then kind of hard to make it click. And it's kind of like if you made a game where you had to consistently press like the R3 button, like click on the control stick like constantly. And it was always weird.
What I liked in Mario Sunshine was like if you just barely pushed it down, your float just kind of like and just kind of like spray it. And then like if you just went from that straight to all the way down, it would just like blast out and blast Mario backwards.
That was my favorite. I loved getting the one that makes you run really fast, and just pushing it very lightly so that nothing, so that the propeller would just move, no water would come out, and then Mario would just kind of like, just jog.
Like, I mean, the game controller is like a really badass controller. Like,
yeah, it's crazy. It pushed a lot of like little boundaries like that. It really, they went all out. Like, they went nuts.
My only complaint about the GameCube controller is that like it works best for games that are made specifically for the GameCube. Like, a lot of multi-platform games play awful on that thing, but like anything Nintendo makes plays beautifully on there. And then like,
yeah,
racing games do pretty good on there. I always thought Soul Calibur 2 played best on a GameCube controller.
I never got to try it on that. That's interesting.
I like playing Ikaruga on a GameCube controller because like it had that big A button, and both the D-pad and the stick was good for that game and stuff, and switching with the triggers was easy and stuff too. I don't know. Like, when I get a Wii U, I'm going to totally get one of those...
The Pro controllers?
No, not the Pro. I will get a Pro controller, but I'm also going to try and get one of those GameCube
adapters.
Yeah, so I can use that with Smash Brothers, because like, I've been
playing Smash Brothers
for the past, like, what, 10, 12 years? And I just have, like, insane muscle memory with that game. Like, I can't play it on anything else.
Yeah, I don't know how if I would be able to as well. And I was looking at those, and oh my god, it sounds like a great investment too, especially.
You know what else is like a good controller that like doesn't get enough credit?
Hmm.
The Virtual Boy controller. Like, I personally actually think the Virtual Boy is pretty cool. There's only about like 3 games worth playing on there, and like even then, like only one of them's worth playing, and that game is Wario World or whatever it is. But
like, it looks like fucking Metal Gear Ray. Like, it's crazy.
The
Virtual Boy controller. It's hilarious. It's like they got like the joysticks and those motion simulators, something like that, and they put them on both sides. How odd.
Yeah, it's good. It's cool. It has D-pads on both sides. Like, it seems. I feel like if the Virtual Boy were either a console or it did well, I think we'd have gotten some really, really cool games out of that. Like, there was basically, like, dual sticks before dual sticks were even a thing, because, like...
Oh, yeah.
Even though the PS1 had them, the only game I know of that ever used the right stick was Ape Escape, so it's just kind of, like... I think that controller's probably the best thing to come out of the Virtual Boy that doesn't get, like, enough credit, because, like... It's a pretty solid controller. Like, Nintendo's always put, like, a lot of really smart thought into their, controller designs and stuff.
Very true. Oh, and this is a little, this has nothing to do, I think, with the controllers, but did people's eyes bleed after playing Virtual Boy for too long? Because it seems like they would.
I think some people got, nauseous or motion sickness from it, because, like, it is 3D, and, like, it is just red, so, like, it makes sense that it can really give people headaches and stuff, but, like...
No, dude, yeah, all the red must be lethal.
To be honest with you, though, I like the 3D effect of the Virtual Boy a lot better than the 3DS, but that's because, like, each of your eyes is seeing a different image, whereas 3DS, it's like, you have to get a compromise between, like, both eyes and, like, one screen.
I know what you mean. So, like, on the Virtual Boy, it's more like a pop-up book or something?
Kind of. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen anything 3D where, like, you have it on both eyes. Like, the closest thing can approximate it to is when you go to the eye doctor and they put that giant thing on your face to see which kind of lens you need. Mm. It's just kind of like both your eyes might be seeing something different.
Mm. Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah. Although, I know that like if you turn on the 3D on the 3DS, like you look off to the edge of like a game, turn on the 3D, and then like close one eye and then like open the other, and then vice versa and go back and forth, and you'll see like the varying images that are being shown into each eye.
Yeah, I do that like all the time when I play the 3DS. Like, I think the best looking 3D game I've seen in there, I talked about it a bit in my review, but I liked the way Professor Layton looked in 3D, because like it had a lot of like the environments were 3D, and like it was more of a focus on depth rather than things having like defined depth. So it's like you're looking into the environment, and like it was very disorienting. So like I can even turn it up all the way and it still looked okay, but I can't do that for like Animal Crossing or
really.
Or
I get it. I was just about to say that Animal Crossing is like the one game that I could put the volume, no, the 3D all the way up, and I don't know why. Like I think I don't know. I have no clue. It's just I like 90% of the time that I played that game, I just played it with the 3D on, and I don't know, it was really good on my eyes for some reason. Now, but Bravely Default though fucked my eyes over, because it would go from like super deep in the background to like really like up close, and then all the switching. Like, let's say you're at a nice kind of little, you're walking around, blah, 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 and then you end up in a battle, and then it's super, the background is super deep, and I'm like, ah! So I just ended up turning off the 3D. It was awful.
I can't think there's any other, like, particularly, oh, Gunman Clive looked really good in 3D.
Oh, yeah, I loved Gunman Clive in 3D.
Which, by the way, if you haven't played that game, it's $2 on both the 3DS and Steam. I'd say it's worth getting on the 3DS just because, like, the 3D does look really nice, but, like, mm-hmm. it's some of the best $2 you can spend on the 3DS. Like, if you get a 3DS brand new, that should be, like, probably one of the first games you should buy just so you can, like, see what that system's like. It's
that really was good. That was the first game I bought, actually.
It was the first game I bought, too, because it was $2.
It was $2. I couldn't resist. I said, no, I have to.
I think I got that, and then, like, shortly after I got my 3DS, I found a copy of Rayman Origins for, like, $7 at Best Buy, and it's an okay port of a really awesome game. It's really upsetting. Yeah, I'm not surprised they didn't put Legends on the 3DS, because, like, Origins did not fare very well on there.
I'm sad.
I am, too, because I really like those games. I really do.
I really want to play one, actually. I only got
whoa,
to play
whoa, whoa,
the...
Whoa, 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 we haven't played either one.
I only got to play the demo.
Oh, at, shit, at dude, a GameStop go, pick up, once. Go pick up Origins or something, like...
People say that to play it on the Wii U because of something. I don't know why.
Rayman Legends is the one that people say to play on the Wii U. And, like, the thing about that is that it has, like, a touch thingy where, like, you're going through a stage and it's like, ooh, move the umbrella so your friends don't get wet or whatever. And, like,
oh.
On the Wii U, it's like you slide it around. On every other console, it's just kind of like, push Y and we'll just automatically do it for you. And it's, gross. Like, maybe about a fifth of the stages. So it's, like... If you play it elsewhere, you're not going to be missing out, but, like, you'll definitely know the Wii U parts when you get to them, but, like, it's still just...
Oh, I see. That's cool. Yeah. No, I'm totally going to get that, then.
If you haven't played Origins, I would highly suggest playing Origins before Legends. I mean, both are right. Still good. You could play one without the other, but...
No, of course.
Origins is definitely, like, the better game, and I think you'll get more out of Legends after you've played Origins, because, like, Legends also does get, like... really hard, I guess. I know it's very short. It's much shorter than Origins is, because Origins just kept going on and on and on and on, and then, like, Legends is, like, about, like, maybe, like, half, a third of the length, it seems. It's very strange, actually, but it demands a lot more of you because it is so short, as opposed to Origins, which just kind of, like, gives you, like, I don't know, it's like, I always describe this, basically, it's just, like, It's Yoshi's Island by way of Earthworm Jim, you know?
Okay, what about Lorigins?
Lorigins? You mean like the Lorax or something? We're not gonna talk about the Lorax. We do not talk about Lorax.
We do not talk about Danny DeVito. No, I love you, Danny DeVito. You're the best.
I love Danny DeVito, which just makes the Lorax that much more upsetting.
He's incredible. Danny DeVito is a god.
He is. Hey, you want to take a quick break real quick?
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a while now.
Yeah, it's just been rambling on, but it's good stuff. You know, like I said,
yeah. It's
no rules.
Yeah.
Is my free spell wrap apology? Well, I'm a peanut bar, and I'm here to say your checks will arrive on another day. Another day, another dime, another rhyme, another dollar. Another stuffed shirt with another white collar. Criminals, Wall Street, taking the pie. And all the black man gets is a plate of white lies. Prisons recruiting them, police be shooting them. Rap artists looting them, labels are diluting them. Barack Obama, you're scared of me, because I don't swallow knowledge and I spit it for free. Let me clear my throat. Ha, ha, ha. I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was.
And it sounds pretty good, too. It's going good, and this way it preserves my fancy mic quality, so I don't sound like I'm talking to a Oscar the Grouch's computer or something. I don't know.
He doesn't own a computer. Stop it. That's I'm not sure. Canon.
He has, like, a whole mansion in there, dude.
That is not Sesame Street canon. You're making stuff up.
His worm was an astronaut. They're probably loaded with cash.
You're right. I'm sorry.
You remember that when he went to space?
No, I don't. You spoiled it for me.
He went to space, man.
You spoiled it. I hadn't gotten there yet.
He was really scared about his worm friend. He was like, he's going to miss me, and he might burn up in the atmosphere. And
I'm not in that episode yet. Wow, thanks a lot for... You ruined it for me. You ruined the ending.
Boop, boop, boop. Oh, shit. Did you see this Mavis Beacon thing on Steam that I posted about?
No.
Go to Steam, and in the recent releases, like a couple things down, there's a Mavis Beacon teaches typing, and then go look at the user tags.
Okay. Mavis Beacon teaches type what?
Look at the tags.
Survive. Oh no.
I just love that the third one down is nudity.
That's great. I
great
like
soundtrack. First I'm looking person.
At, yeah, I'm looking at all of them. I like open world anime. Oh,
wait,
shit.
Anime is one of them?
Anime.
Oh, shit, it is.
Oh, that was a good laugh. It's funny.
Oh my gosh, I was like, I didn't even know Mavis Beacon was still around.
Is this made with the Source Engine?
Is it? Because like I don't know, it's like the screenshots have it like on a computer in a virtual room. So I'm like,
it's
is
like
that supposed to be our computers,
computer.
Or is it a computer in the game?
And then they're using QuickTime as well. In the virtual computer.
No, if you look at it, the virtual computer, the QuickTime window is over the virtual computer. It's not inside of it. It's actually, fine. It exists in real life. In fact, this is one of the most baffling screenshots I've ever seen for a game, because, like, it's a real program window over a virtual computer of a virtual lady doing the exact same thing. And the computer she's on is a virtual computer, too. Look at it. Look, on her computer screen, there's a computer screen and a computer.
There's a computer in a computer in a computer. This is a computerception. Mavis Beacon, you are onto something unholy.
This is the single greatest screenshot I've ever seen. I think I need to post on Twinfinet about this, because this is...
Oh, God.
This is the single greatest screenshot in the world.
This will teach me good posture habits as well. That's actually very important. I've been practicing that myself. Thank you, Mavis Beacon, for pointing that out. Oh, you need a recommended OS. Only Alienware processors can run this.
Crazy. It takes a serious rig to play this game.
Yeah, 600 gigabytes of RAM necessary.
User-friendly system for everyone ages 8 to 88. So if you're 6 years old or 92 years old, you're fucked.
I almost want to buy it just so I can write a public review on it.
I just want to write about this screenshot of the virtual computer, like everything about this screenshot.
Oh my god, wow. Encore. That's the developers, Bytes of Learning. They did Metal Gear Rising, I remember.
You should set a personal pace. 12 interface themes. Okay, so I think the computer screen is actually like a computer screen.
You notice that one of the screenshots has like, is that a mouse or a little bug on the fake computer screen?
Which one?
The second.
Oh, I see it. There's like a little. No, wait.
That's a mouse.
That's
right?
The cursor. That's the cursor.
That's the cursor, which confirms that the game, or I mean, the program. Has you on a virtual computer.
So, this is... I can't. And I'm pretty sure that's not the same Mavis Beacon, because she looks too young to be Mavis Beacon. Who is Mavis
Unless
Beacon?
They brought her back.
I thought Mavis Beacon is a person, right?
I have no clue. I've never even heard of her in my life.
Mavis Beacon is a fictional character created for the Mavis Beacon Teaches Typing software.
Well, it looks like in this picture on Wikipedia, that is a Hispanic woman, and then suddenly Mavis Beacon became a black lady. So Mavis Beacon is an extra-dimensional... That's obvious now. Mavis Beacon is an extra-dimensional being capable of transcending time, race, and space.
Basically, Mavis Beacon is a Time Lord.
basically, and she can alter reality, make computers into computers that put computers in your computers.
I like how one of the bullets on this thing, too, is that stunning 3D graphics to demonstrate correct posture and typing techniques.
Stunning. I am stunned.
I mean, look at this lady. Look at that chair. Have you seen a chair that looks that real?
No, I'm stunned by Mavis Beacon's incredibly bright green jacket. And it's winter's not even over yet.
I'm just really digging these food fight hands in the last screenshot. These garish 3D hands.
And the worst part is, you look at the first and the last screenshot, you can tell that these 3D fingers actually move around. However, I hope they do it as awkwardly as possible. For all we know, this might be in the food fight canon. This game.
Oh, wow. I actually do wish we could do like some sort of review for this or something.
Is there multiplayer?
I was about to ask the same thing, but I do not think there is.
Yeah, it says PvP. Yeah.
Join one of our many servers or host your own with up to 64 players.
Yeah, I see it now. That's cool.
Oh,
that's
shit. Awesome. Can somebody make like a 64-player like typing MMO? Like a MOBA? What was that typing game that came out over the summer? Did you see that thing?
There was Typing of the Dead.
No, it was a game online, and it was like the most intense typing game ever. Wait a minute, let me see if I can find this, because I'm thinking about this now.
Right, it's the one. It's called the most intense typing game ever, 2000 Extreme DX Championship Edition.
Oh wait, I found it. It is called Icarus Proud Bottom Teaches Typing. Have you played this?
Whoa. That sounds so extreme. Icarus Proud.
Andy, you literally don't even know.
I have ran through Typing of the Dead multiple times. I think I can do, oh no.
This is, like I said, this is the greatest typing game ever played, ever made.
I love typing more than family or friends. There's nothing quite like typing. I'm a big fan of typing. My favorite thing ever? Probably typing. I need this.
It gets better and better. It's really good.
Oh, God. Wow. Oh, so, okay. Cool. So it's all, like, satirical. They're not being serious.
Oh, it's dead serious.
Oh, no, you're right. I'm sorry. No, I see now, yeah. Oh, sweet, I need a license to type. You get a license to type in this game, that's incredible. And you know what, I actually feel like I would actually enjoy this game a lot more than like Typing of the Dead, too.
You know, growing up, the typing game that made us play in school was Mario Teaches Typing.
Oh my god, I never got to play that.
Yeah, as a kid growing up who didn't have a Nintendo, but really enjoyed playing like Mario 1 and 3 on like his neighbor's Nintendo, like, it was pretty exciting to go to school and get to play Mario Brothers, where you progress and jump on blocks and Goombas by typing shit.
I would have preferred that. All we had were shitty math games. Like Math, I think it was called Math Blaster.
Oh, everybody had Math Blasters. I never really got Math Blasters, though.
I also had, Clue Finders?
We didn't have Clue Finders. I think Clue Finders is like an older kid thing.
Yeah.
See, we had this one called Star Search or something, right? And, like, it was a math game. And how it worked was, you went to the universe collecting stars, and there's a rainbow on the bottom of the screen. And when you went down there, you went, like, super duper fast. But you did math problems, collect all these stars, and you used the stars to get awesome toys, right? But this is, like, in the ages before cloud saving, so your save was tied to the computer. And we had assigned seats in computer class, right? And, like most classrooms, like, after the teacher learns your names, it's pretty much just kind of, like, sit wherever the fuck you feel like sitting. And, like, I was sick one day, and then I came back, and there's a kid sitting at my computer, and I'm like, hey, kid, that's my computer. And he's like, no, I sit here now. It's like, I'm pretty sure that's my computer. I've got, like, 200 goddamn stars in that star game. You're gonna let me
sit. Did you kick his ass?
No.
Did you kick his ass?
If I were, like, the age I am now and he were still, like, 8, yeah, I would have totally kicked his ass.
I would have broken his face. You had how many stars?
I don't remember, but I had a shit ton of stars. And, like, he just wouldn't move. And I went to a different computer. It's like, start new game. And it's like, you got one star. And it's like, I don't feel like playing this anymore.
I remember this wasn't even in school, but someone had bought me the Magic School Bus Explores the Solar System. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was cool and all because, you know, Magic School Bus, you know, you go to space. However, when you go to space, all the kids get like separated by some horrible tragedy. And then you're left all alone in like a little spaceship in complete darkness and in complete silence. And it horrified me as a child because all you heard was like Miss Frizzle, like Miss Frizzle, like, are you there? And I'm like, oh, my fucking God, this is eerie.
How horrifying would it be to like be those kids and like you get separated and like they're like, wait, we're OK. Miss Frizzle's just right out there. And you just watch Miss Frizzle just kind of like freeze to death. And it's just kind of like,
dude,
how do we get back home now?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Stop. That show is terrifying.
It is, and, like, they go inside of, like, what's that kid's name? The nerdy kid.
Yeah, they go inside Arnold. Of him. What if they had turned into, like, the actual size, like just in time to, like, tear him from the inside out?
And then let's not forget the episode where they have to wash, I think, the principal's car. And for some weird reason, he has a hood ornament made out of goddamn sugar, and they knock it into a bucket of water, and it dissolves, like, a hood ornament on a car made of sugar, and that's what gets it. But then, like, they sit in the bucket, and eventually the hood ornament, like, reconstitutes itself because it forms, like, a sugar crystal. And, like, growing up as a kid, I thought, oh, if you put a shit ton of sugar in, like, water, it'll just make a crystal like that, right? Nope.
Sugar. They lied to your ass. Like, Miss Frizzle said, hey, little JC, I won't lie right to your face, look you dead in the eyes, and tell you you can make crystals with sugar. Isn't that how they do it on Breaking Bad? They just get a bunch of water and a bunch of sugar, and
they just knock it into a bucket of water, and then boom,
yeah.
Crystal meth.
Wow. I didn't know that Magic School Bus was in the Breaking Bad canon, but it makes sense now, like as a prequel. Is it like that? That's cool.
It's in the, you know, it's in the Breaking Bad universe, it's in the Call of Duty universe, it's in the Assassin's Creed universe. Like,
you're right, the Templars, little kid Carlos.
Yeah, that seems like too easy an Easter egg to put into games, you know? Like, you're just playing a game that takes place in a historical period, and you just put a giant goddamn bus with a redhead standing next to it just, like, somewhere in the game. It's like, everyone would get it. Like, just, why has nobody done that?
I have to stop you right there. She wouldn't be caught dead without her iguana.
Oh, it could be like Skyrim or something. It could be like a lady with like a little dragon.
Dude, I would totally do that. I would totally do that.
Can you basically be in the Magic School Bus in Skyrim? Can you do that?
I mean, Miss Frizzle and her Magic School Bus are clearly just like Mavis Beacon, extra dimensional beings able to transcend time, race, and space. So I wouldn't doubt it if Miss Frizzle has many cameos across every genre, every generation.
She too is also the Doctor, where she just like exists in many different forms across time and space.
There's a theory that she is actually the reincarnation of Alduin, the dragon from Skyrim.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I'm surprised it's not the lizard. I forget the lizard's name. Was it Lizzie?
I don't know. That sounds too obvious. I feel like it is. I was thinking that, but I didn't want to go for that because I don't know.
Wait a minute, this is happening. School bus. Lizard. List of Magic School Bus characters. Okay, Liz. The character's name is Liz.
Oh, God. Oh, get it? It's a lizard named Liz.
Yeah, and it's a girl, if I recall.
It has to be. Oh, no, it doesn't have to be a girl. Transgender lizard. You don't know that. Stop putting all your gender normative values on this lizard, JC. Jeez, Christ.
I like the Wikipedia description of it too. Liz is mute, but often does things that one would not expect from a lizard in real life, such as driving the bus.
You wouldn't expect that in real life. That's really funny. I mean, I've seen that before, but that's the thing, is that it was unusual. You know?
See, that's comedy 101 right there, listeners, right? Get a lizard. Make it do things you don't expect a lizard to do. Boom. Instant comedy gold.
Driving your car. Operating heavy machinery.
Going into little boys' bodies. That's
oh, my God.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah. Try it out. Try it out. Send us, like, a video, like, or, like, a Vine, Instagram. Like, do it for the Vine.
Send us a video of you shoving a lizard down a little boy's throat, and we'll send you
We'll send you a copy of Mavis Beacon's teacher's typing, or something like Velvet Assassin or some whatever the fuck, some shitty game. Who knows?
And the proof is that you played it. Make sure you send us a picture of you on a computer playing on a computer screen with the video of a lady on a computer playing the game on a computer screen with a computer screen inside of it. And then we'll have that picture on our computers and we'll look at it.
My head hurts so much now.
It sounds like someone needs a little bit more Mavis, a little bit more Mavis Beacon in their life.
Oh God, my posture. It's my posture that I need more Mavis Beacon to teach me my good posture. It's killing my back, my head, my Miss Frizzle, you will be the end of me.
Maybe that's what we need to put in the tags, is just improved our postures.
Mavis Beacon. Thank you, Mavis Beacon. Based Mavis Beacon.
Thank you, Based Beacon.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
All right. I think this somehow turned into a segment, so let's take one last break, and then we'll close this thing out, all right?
Sweet.
Thanks for listening to the show. We had a lot of fun today talking about controllers and Mavis Beacon.
Thank you, Based Mavis Beacon. Based Beacon.
Yes, thank you, Based Meek. Based Meekin.
Based Beacon.
Jesus Christ, Mavis Beacon is actually pretty Bacon hard County. To say. It should make Mavis Beacon teach us saying Mavis Beacon.
You know, as if her wildly changing race weren't confusing enough, she has to have, like, this really awkward and kind of androgynous name. Like, you know, you wouldn't think Mavis is very... She could be anything. That's true. If she is, like, a genderless cosmic being entity...
She's a cosmic force.
Anyway.
So, you have anything coming up this week you want to tell the listeners about, Andy?
I reviewed some some game that'll be going up right now. It should be up by now. This game called like Mitsurugi Kamui Hikai, and it's just like a it's like one of those Japanese beat 'em ups. It's trying to be like taking a page from Bayonetta and Metal Gear Rising. It's pretty interesting. You can check it out.
Is that the one about the sisters who have to like kill each other or whatever?
I started up the game and the plot jumped right into it, and it's like, my friend, well, she used to be my friend, took this demon sword and now she's evil and I have to stop her.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm thinking of.
You actually? Oh, wow. Because yeah. I hadn't even heard about this game prior, so.
Yeah, I saw it on Steam.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's interesting. Check out the review.
Yeah.
You can see what I think of it.
I should have a review for Powerpuff Girls, Defender of Townsville, going up early this week. I've actually surprisingly had quite a few people actually ask me about that game, so you can look forward to that review to see what I think of it. I can at least tell you that if you feel like buying it on a whim, you probably won't be disappointed, but read my review for more details on the quality of that game, and hopefully I should have a feature going up this week, perhaps. I'm working on writing that right now, so fingers crossed. Got the review, not the review, the podcast, as usual. Like I said, we're now on iTunes, so if you'd like to drop us a review and a rating, go ahead and do that. You can also now subscribe to us there, so get that shit beamed straight to your device of choice, unless the device is a Zune, in which case, get with the times, Grandpa. Nobody uses Zunes.
Shut up, I still have a Zune, although I don't use it, but...
I'm surprised anybody has a Zune.
I got one years ago, okay, I swear.
Was it free? Did you pay money for it?
Shh, it did. Oh, hey, I liked it a lot, okay? I have a... Now that I think about it, it was a complete waste of... Almost a waste of money because I only got it for 4 gigs. I could have at least gotten, like, 8 gigs, something like that, but it filled up really quickly.
Yeah, 4 gigs is not a lot when it comes to music. That's, like, 20 albums or something.
I didn't know that then. I was foolish. I was a fool.
Well, all you listeners out there, you guys aren't fools, because you've listened to the Twinfinite Loop podcast.
Unless you have a Zune.
A Zune? Oh, yeah, if you listen to a Zune, then piss off. No, just kidding. Stick with us. We need your viewership the most.
If you listen to us, You are smart, talented, and you smell great.
You're the single most important, most interesting person in the world.
In the world. It's you. You are special.
You are the special. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Bye.